Anyway, we thank the Lord for our young people. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. It's good to have the Jeffries family. They just moved up here from Florida. Hope you get to meet Wayne and Margaret. Lord bless you folk. Ephesians 6:16 states, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all. That word all is very comprehensive. All the fiery darts of the wicked. Roman soldiers used several kinds of shields in combat, but two were the most common. For example, the shield of faith was some 2 feet in diameter and was secured to the arm by leather straps. And it was light. It was used to parry blows of the enemy's sword in hand-to-hand combat. And so it was one of these, and I think you kind of get the idea. Zach, were you able to pull those things up? Where's that? Yeah. All right, well, we're going to describe this next one. It was much larger. It could measure about 2.5 feet wide, some 4.5 feet tall. It was designed to protect the entire body of the soldier. And keep in mind, you say, well, that doesn't look like it would protect the entire body. Well, soldiers back then, people back then, were smaller than they are today. And so really it would protect the entire body. Now this shield was made of a solid piece of wood that was then covered first with linen and then with hide, and was then bound on the top and the bottom with iron. It was then finished with an iron ornament, and you can see the ornament here. The iron ornament decorating the front of it. Now the soldiers who carried these shields were on the front lines. And normally they stood side by side with their shields together, forming a huge phalanx that could extend more than a mile. There was also a tortoise formation, and in which rows of soldiers closed all gaps between one another and held their shields at the edges. The first row of men placed their shields in front of them to protect the formation's front. The soldiers on the flanks held their shields to the side, and I think you can see that, while the soldiers in the middle balanced their shields on their helmets. Can you see the shields on top there? And they overlapped them, protecting the formation even from above. And the reason it was called the tortoise formation was that it protected the soldiers like a shell protects a turtle. Doesn't that make sense? So the point here is, as long as the soldiers remained together in this formation, they were nearly undefeatable. Which should tell us, Lone Ranger Christianity does not work. I find this such a helpful piece of information. Some of our own protection comes from the shields of other Christians. And so Christians who think, well, I can stay home and I don't need to be a part of a fellowship, I don't need to get involved in a local church body, they don't understand the protection other Christians, the shields that they have, provide for them. Again, a soldier could put his entire body behind this large shield as it absorbed the javelin and fiery arrows of the enemy, arrows which would be snuffed out as they buried themselves in the thickness of the shield. One author writes, during battles, these great shields would often bristle with smoking arrows like roasted porcupines. Well, with this picture in mind, Paul presents to us as we study this morning the shield of faith. And let us pray, and then we have 2 points this morning. Our first point is the possession of the shield of faith. And then point number 2 is the purpose for the shield of faith. And we find those 2 points in our verse of the morning, verse 16. Well, let's pray and then begin. Father, thank you so much that we can put on the whole armor of God. Thank you that this armor includes the shield of faith, wherewith we are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Lord, what a wonderful defensive weapon. And Lord, I pray that we'll carry that shield with us today, that shield will go up. And not only will it be a benefit to us, but a benefit to those around us. For as we live in victory, what an encouragement, what a challenge, what a help and blessing that is to others. Lord, that we can be a stepping stone and not a stumbling block to those around us. And in Jesus' name, amen. Under point number 1, the possession of the shield of faith, Paul says in verse 16, above all, meaning this is very important, taking the shield of faith. Now the question before us is, what is this faith? Paul commands us here to take the shield of faith. Well, what is it we are to take? What are we to place our faith in? We don't place faith in faith. We place our faith in something, some object. For example, when we cross a bridge, we have faith that that bridge will support us and enable us to get to the other side. If you didn't believe that, you wouldn't do what? You wouldn't cross the bridge. Doesn't that make sense? When we eat food, and we enjoy eating food, amen, we have faith that it is not poisoned. There's not salmonella in that food. That it has been properly processed. If we go out to eat, that it has been properly cooked. If we didn't believe that, if we didn't have faith in that, we wouldn't eat other people's food. Amen? When we get on a plane, or as Kay and I will do in a couple of weeks, and she's so excited, I can tell you, she just cannot wait. I told her she's going to beat me to the car that we'll be on. But as we get on that train, or as you'll do after the service, get in your car. We have faith in those mechanisms. To do what? To keep us safe. To get us to the place where we want to go. Amen? Honestly, if our life did not have this faith, we would simply stay at home and become hermits. We would get a place out in Alaska where it would be just us 4 and no more. And by the way, Alaska is beautiful. So if you have ambitions to move to Alaska, go for it. Not in the winter. But if you don't have faith in what's around you, you really don't have a life. We would live in total fear. What kind of life is that? Where you live in abject fear. Oliver Wendell Holmes has aptly said, it is faith in something that makes life worth living. Meaning faith gives worth to life. You have exercised certain faith this morning as you came. Say, well, Pastor Lane, I presume has prepared a message that hopefully will be a blessing to me. So you sit there and graciously and hopefully attentively listen to me. Amen. If you didn't have faith that there wouldn't that something is going to be said that's hopefully beneficial, you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't go to a service. I wouldn't go to a church where I didn't feel like I was going to get something for my soul. And so we've exercised faith all the time. Well, in the Christian realm, our faith is in, the word is rhema, the truths, the sayings of God. And I love this, found in the armory of God, the Bible. Isn't that beautiful? The armory of God, the Bible. And so faith is saying, I take to heart what the Bible says. What the Bible says, I believe. Faith is in the integrity, and the promises of God. Now, faith is only as good as the object toward which it is directed, which means the source of the Christian's faith must be Christ. Can I say that again? The source of the Christian's faith must be Christ. It's not in a church, it's in the church, it's in Christ. And all the Bible says of him, Hebrews 12:2 tells us, we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our what? Of our faith. What the Bible says of Christ's life and death and burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his intercessory work at the Father's right hand, his coming again, what the Bible says about the gospel, the good news, that he saves those who come unto him, who believe in him, who confess their sins before him. We who are taking the shield of faith believe. Now, believing in Christ is not something passive. It is acted upon what we believe. If you believe that bridge will hold you up, you're most likely going to do what? Cross it. If you believe Logan's has a good steak, you'll probably at some point in time go and eat at Logan's. I don't know why I brought Logan's to mind, but came to mind. But faith is active. True faith is active. It is acted upon what we believe. Faith, as one author writes, is decision, it's action, it's resolution. Faith is saying, yes, I believe Christ is the truth. He is my righteousness. He is my peace. Which means what follows a faith that looks to Christ is a faith then that lives like Christ. You look to Christ. If that faith, by the way, if that faith is real and you look to Christ, then you'll begin to live like Christ. As we look to unto the Lord Jesus, the source of our faith, we do what Hebrews 12:1 tells us, we lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and we run with patience the race that is set before us, which then strengthens our faith. How do you strengthen your muscles? You what? Exercise. Muscles do not become strong if you're a passive person. You must be active. And the same is true in your Christianity. We exercise this faith in godly living. Can I say that again? Do you know how to grow your faith? Live godly. You grow your faith, you exercise your faith in godly living, which simply means as our faith grows and is strengthened, we truly fulfill Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, which all state the just shall live by faith. Do you know how to fulfill that famous statement in the scriptures? You look to Christ and you live like Christ. That is faith. And so as we positionally look to Christ and then as we practically live like Christ, we take possession of this shield of faith. And what a wonderful defensive weapon to have. What a wonderful defensive weapon to have. It covers your whole body. If you're in the tortoise formation, it even covers your head. It covers your side. Which brings us now to point number two, the purpose of this shield, which we find in the second half of verse 16, which says, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The purpose of the shield of faith is to extinguish Satan's fiery arrows. Now, the picture before us is this. As we are battling in spiritual warfare, and by the way, that's life. I mean, if you don't feel the battles around you, spiritually speaking, you're living on the moon. I mean, you're clueless. You have some French fries missing. And a Happy Meal. Amen? I don't even know why I said that. I kind of lost myself. But the battle is raging, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's all around us. The battle is even raging here. And so we need the shield of faith. As we're battling in spiritual warfare, the enemy launches repeated volleys of blazing arrows to inflame us, to bring our demise. But then up comes our shield of faith, into which the hot arrows thud harmlessly, which raises the question, what are these fiery darts? What are the darts, the arrows, that the enemy, the wicked, shoots at the believer? Well, in Roman days, these darts were poison-tipped arrows, or arrows whose pointed heads were dipped in pitch and set ablaze, which tells us it is obvious how lethal they were. The damage poison and fire could inflict. Well, in the spiritual sense, these burning arrows depict a host of insidious wiles of the devil, with the first being described in Satan's initial temptation to Adam and Eve, which was he enticed them to doubt God's word and instead put their trust in his lies. That was Satan's initial flaming missile, from which really all other temptations have lighted their flames. For isn't it true every temptation, whether directly or indirectly, is the temptation to distrust God and to doubt his word? Satan wants us to say, yea, hath God said. You know, if you live, and I can speak from experience, you know, when you live your life doubting God, doubting his word, his promises, you really live a fruitless, wasted, defeated life. And I think if the truth were known, in other words, if we were truly honest with one another, with the Lord, most of us live with hearts filled with doubt and disbelief. We don't really believe who God is. We really don't believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Because if we did, we would diligently seek Him. And how sad. We have this shield of faith, and yet we do not use it. We believe Satan's lies. We believe the lies of the world, the flesh. We disbelieve God's truth, His promises, and the arrows come shooting at us, and they inflict such harm. What does doubt do? Well, it drives a wedge between our soul and the Savior. We stop trusting God's promises, the truth of His Word, and we begin, as I've been saying, like Eve, to believe Satan and to doubt God, which really means all sin results from a failure to act in faith in who God is and what He requires of His children. Remember, the Bible says if it is not of faith, it is sin. And that famous verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And what does doubting God and His standard of righteousness open to us? Well, for one, the enemy. It opens us to the enemy who tries to get us to justify lustful desires. For example, we say, if God didn't want me to have this, then why did He make me with such a desire for this thing, this person, this pleasure? It can't be all bad. I have such a passion for it. And besides, all my friends, even a lot of my Christian friends are doing it, so what's the big deal? And frankly, I'm tired of Christianity that says no all the time. I mean, I want life with fun. I like the liberal. I mean, I like that liberated Christianity. You know, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. By the way, that doesn't mean you're free to sin. But we have that mindset. Okay, and I talk about it, you know. Kay likes to have fun. I'm more serious. She's my spiritual example. Sometimes I think I need to have more fun, and she needs, I'll stop with that. But you know, can I be blunt? We get a perverted idea of what is fun. We get it all messed up. We start believing the lie that the world is the place, young people, where I can have fun. Von Seal, I didn't see you back there. Sure good to have you back with us. Lord bless you. But then comes God's word, which says, thou shalt not covet. Exodus 20, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth, if that word despiseth means rejecteth, despiseth not man, but God who hath given us his Holy Spirit. You don't want to live your life rejecting God. And ladies and gentlemen, when we yield to temptation, we reject God. You don't win rejecting God. I'm your friend. I'm telling you how to win. That's not how you win. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. which all tells us as we believe God's word. The shield of faith flies up, and the arrows of covetousness and lust fall harmlessly to the ground. And we realize the joys and pleasures that come from God's hand truly fulfill. I'm 60 years of age, and one thing I can honestly say I've learned, and of course I hope I'm still learning, is that true joy is found in Jesus. This week I was looking at, or planning this trip. And I know you're going to get tired of hearing about it. But Bert, we're going to go and see the Dodgers. Bert is from L.A. He's a diehard Dodger fan, and he reminds me that they are beating up on the Giants now. They are. But anyway, we're going to watch San Diego play the Dodgers in about 3 weeks. But anyway, we're also going to Knott's Berry Farm. How many of you have been to Knott's Berry Farm? Thank you. I've been there before. But you can go on their website, and you can actually view the different rides. And you can actually virtually take the ride. And so I took the log ride. I think it was Friday night. there was this real benign roller coaster. I took that ride. And I told Kay, you know, I think you can handle those two. She is not one for like the Batman ride at Six Flags. That's just not her speed, and that's fine. But I told her, I think you can handle the log ride. And this really, it just kind of goes back and forth, down a little bit, kind of back and forth. I we went to the Mall of America several years ago, and they have kind of the Snoopy ride. And I know I'm going to get into trouble. I know I'm talking too much. Too much extemporaneous speech this morning. But they have a roller coaster actually in the Mall of America. How many of you have been there? Thank you. Very benign. Kay was saying it really needed to go even faster. For her to say that, it's very benign. But anyway, after a while, I'm in trouble, aren't I, Jerry? I'm digging, the hole is getting deeper. But after a while, and I was on this for a few minutes, and you know, other sites would kind of pop up, or other videos, and all of a sudden some pornographic videos popped up. And I thought, wow. And I don't usually go online. So, I mean, it's not like, oh. You know, it surprised me. I'm a real novice. I mean, I can go on Delta's website and order tickets and so forth, but I just don't go online a lot. And so, what do? Well, thankfully, the shield of faith went up. And I did not go. I did not press those buttons. I did not go on those sites. God gave me victory. Praise His name. What does the truth of God's word say? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Ladies and gentlemen, seeing God is so much greater than watching anything pornographic. Amen. I think it's interesting that Roman shields before battle would be soaked in water. which would help extinguish the fiery arrows. And the Bible says in Ephesians 6, verses 26 and 27, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish before him in love. And then we have the fiery trials of illness and tragedies and maybe even persecution. And what does the enemy do but launch arrows of doubt about God's goodness, the truth of the gospel, even his existence? And we ask, and which causes us to ask, if God is our Father, why, who promises to take care of us, why are we having so many difficulties? Have you ever asked yourself, well, if God's my Father, why is all this happening to me? But then the shield of faith goes up and renders these arrows harmless as we call that God's plan for us are for our welfare and not for our calamity, and to give us a future and a hope. And that all things do work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And that in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And that God's grace is always sufficient. You know, when trials come, God sends those trials, I believe, for one of the primary reasons is so that we will know what his grace feels like. What a beautiful thing to know of his grace, that peace that passeth understanding in the midst of the difficulties of life. And then some of these fiery arrows come from even within our own camp. Christians are really good, you know, at shooting their own. We love to shoot our own wounded. And seeing hands grasp the hands of our brothers and sisters in Christ who take their bows and dip their arrows in the fiery tar of rejection and criticism and hypocrisy and fire them at our hearts. I feel that so often. But the shield of faith goes up and challenges us to be not overcome of evil, but to overcome evil with good. There are so many times I could just lash back at people, write letters, make phone calls, and I say, how is that going to help? Just going to burn a bridge. I don't want that person, when they see me, to walk on the other side of the street. I want that person to know whether that person is still a part of this ministry or not, or whatever. And I want that person to know that Pastor Lane loves you. You know what? I still pray for people that don't even come to our church anymore. If God be for us, who can stand against us? And then there are the delectable arrows which bring pleasurable fire to our hearts, like shafts of pride and vanity and self-love. The enemy wants us to feel so important. The enemy wants us to feel so important. By the way, when you feel so important, you know what? You get offended easily. When I start to feel important, mark it down, I'm going to be offended pretty quickly. I didn't like what so-and-so said. You know? When you don't feel, when you don't have a narcissistic attitude or mindset, you really don't get offended very easily. It's no big deal. I'm not that important anyway. And then up comes that shield of faith, which reminds us God resisteth the proud. He opposeth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's no exaggeration to say that during our earthly life, thousands upon thousands of these deadly blazing arrows are launched at the Christian. They're launched by demons. They're launched by demon-possessed culture. But every time the answer is the shield of faith. It is written. Again, remember what Christ said to Satan when he was being tempted. It is written. The truth of God. We place our faith. We look to the written. We look to the living Word of God who has described it in the written Word of God. And we say, I want to live like Christ. John declares, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And again, why faith? Because faith is not just belief. It is belief plus trust. It is completely resting in the person of God and His Word to us. When a man named John Patton was translating the Bible for a South Seas Island tribe, he discovered that they had no word for the word faith. Well, one day, a native who had been running hard came rushing into the missionary's home and flopped himself in a large chair and said, "It is good to rest my entire weight on this chair." And Mr. Patton said, "That's it. I'll translate faith as resting one's whole weight on God." Resting one's whole faith on God. What a beautiful thing. We rest our faith on God. Again, there's battle and confusion all around us. The fiery darts of the wicked are coming in from all directions. We're taking fire from every direction. But when we as Christians raise our shield of faith, the arrows, though they be many, are extinguished in victory. One author writes, a shield is from God and to God, and he raises it up, smoking up to God, and the savor is sweet to heaven. We should every day be raising a smoking shield of faith to God, which says, I'm living in victory. Thank you for the victory you give to me. Is your shield of faith smoking? I think of David in his battle against Goliath. He was victorious because he rejected conventional wisdom and chose weaponry suited to defeat his foe. Conventional wisdom, well, it says fight fire with fire. Violence with violence, hate with hate, spite with spite, pride with pride. But the wisdom from above includes peace and faith. Meaning, as we sing, it is well with my soul. As we studied last week, have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The shield of faith is ever before us, and we stand in victory against the arrows of doubt, lusts, impurity, covetousness, disappointments, tragedies, persecutions, rejection, criticism, and pride. And like David, we can say to the demonic Goliaths in our lives who shoot their fiery arrows at us, the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. I leave you with, again, this divine wisdom. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We have the possession of the shield of faith, the purpose of the shield of faith, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, let's bow our heads. Think about these questions. Do you take God's word to heart? I mean, when we study a verse of Scripture like Ephesians 6:16, does that impress your conscience to move in that direction? Does the Word of God impact your heart? Do you act upon God's Word? Do you really believe God's Word? If you do, you will have a sure defense. Remember, the shield of faith does extinguish Satan's fiery arrows. I say, look to Jesus. I say, live like Jesus. And perhaps you're here and you know not our Savior. You've never really even put your faith and trust in Him for your salvation. That's where victory begins. It begins with salvation. I encourage you, I challenge you to look unto the Lord Jesus for your salvation, for forgiveness of sin, for eternal life. Pray, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for me. Come into my heart, wash my sins away, and be my Savior. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, would you mind just raising your hand, anyone? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, I pray that we'll love you, that we'll believe you, that we'll lift up the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. And in Jesus' name, amen.